Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the 30th recording of the book, The Degree of the Woman and the Religion of Islam. We're in the section that takes to the end of the book of questions and answers, and yesterday we were reading about women and menstruation and how men should treat women based on the Holy Quran. And today we're on page 147, moving deeper into the questions and answers. So we'll begin with the Fatiha, and we'll have the reading be a good 10, 15 minutes, and we'll move a few pages at a time until we get to the end of the book. Inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. So this is a continuation of the exposition of the ayat in the Quran that speaks about, it is a period of about the menstruation. Say, it is a period of stress for the woman, so stay apart from women during their courses and do not come near them until they have purified themselves. And when they have purified themselves, go into them as you have been commanded by Allah. Surely Allah loves those who turn back from evil and who loves those who purify themselves. And your wives are like fields to you, so enter your fields as you wish, but send before you good for yourselves, and guard yourselves for Allah, and know that you shall meet him and give good news to the firm believers. So this question is, what happens if the woman understands the deep meaning of these ayats, but her husband does not? Well, this is a big problem for both of them. This is the complete divorce between his soul and her soul. And for that I say to you, if you do not follow your beloved in everything, to be with him, with her, to contain him or her in everything, then you cannot walk together in this life. It's difficult. For this reason, it's important to feed yourself in the way when you are near the presence of your father. Also, Allah says, do not look back. If you look back for one moment, then you lose everything. And this is the station of the wife of Lut. And what is the wisdom of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam having so many wives after the death of Khadijah? First of all, my beloved, this is a special case for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look, you will see that he did not marry any wife without a reason. For example, he married Safiya from the Jewish people, and in the beginning, she remained Jewish. This was a sign giving permission to the Muslims to marry Jewish women. But a deeper thing behind that is that he did not want to just give the love and the peace to her, but he wanted to give the peace and love to all of her people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to her exactly what he gave to all of his wives. All of Safiya's tribe followed him and became Muslim. This is similar to his marriage to Maria. She was a Christian from the Egyptian people, and she was the daughter of the Egyptian king Mukalkis, who followed the Prophet. But he was unable to openly confess to that, to show Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam his real belief. He sent him his daughter Maria. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to show the people that there was no separation, that it was important to not look at the outside, but at the inside of the religion, because then there is no separation from the real Islam and the real Christianity. Before the Muslims had journeyed to Egypt, the Prophet said to them, "Be careful about the people in Egypt because they are from me." When they arrived in Egypt, most of the people became Muslim from their own desire or from the story of Maria. I will give you an example of another marriage. There was a woman who had lost her husband and she did not have any other family. There was no one to look after her and she was very old. Her name was Ummu Habiba. So the Prophet asked her to marry him. She accepted. "I'm very happy to live with the Prophet." He wanted to teach the people how to give the mercy to everyone, even the person who was old, if they did not have anyone to care about them. Another marriage was in connection with the Khalifa, Umar bin al-Khattab. In the time of the Jahiliya, he was a very powerful man, and he and his people refused to follow the Prophet. They said that the Prophet claimed to be a prophet to make himself higher than any other person, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent love to the heart of Umar and his people. After this, he asked Umar if he could marry his daughter, and Umar agreed. This revealed Umar's loyalty to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you explain the story of Zainab, the wife of the Prophet? It begins with the story of Zayd. He was a slave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet set him free because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened many doors for the slaves. The Prophet said to Zayd, "You are free. You can go wherever you want to." And Zayd answered, "No, I do not want to leave you. You're my father and this is my home. This means that I could not leave you." Because of this, the people began to call him the son of the Prophet. Zayd loved the woman called Zainab and wanted to marry her, and she wanted to marry him also. She was a member of a high-class family, and at this time, customs forbade a slave to marry a free woman. To break these things, Allah sent the order for the Prophet to break these customs and to marry Zayd to Zainab. With this marriage, Allah taught the people two things. There is no separation between slaves and free people, and there is no separation between the higher and the lower classes of people. So Zayd and Zainab were married, but after the marriage, Zainab began to ask herself, "How could I marry this person?" And she began to make problems for Zayd, and the Prophet said to her, "He is a beloved of Allah. If you are from the Beloveds, it is important for you to love him and give him everything, because he is of yourself." Behind these problems, there was a deep wisdom. Arab custom forbade marriage between a lord and an ex-wife of a slave or adopted son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the order for divorce of Zayd and Zainab because there was no life between them anymore. Then he sent the order for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry Zainab. When the Prophet asked her, she said, "Yes, you are my husband, the real husband for me." When they were married, all the people said, "This isn't right. How can he marry her when she had been married to his son?" Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the ayah, "وَمَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدًا أَبَّا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ Jalikum," meaning that Zayd is not the son from the body of the Prophet, so he is not the son, and it is not forbidden to marry his former wife. And with his marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala broke many pictures from before. After that, no one could say that the Prophet had a son, and there is no difference between slaves and free people because everyone is a human being if he has the love and he knows God. And there is no difference between the high and lower classes of people. And for every marriage of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a reason. And behind that, there was deep wisdom. Can you explain the ayah of Surat An-Nisa that says that a man can marry four women? And the surah reads, the ayah reads, And if you have reason to fear that you might not act equitably toward the orphans, then marry who pleases you of the women, two or three or four, and if you feel that you shall not deal justly with that number, then marry only one, or the slave woman whom you rightfully possess. This will make it more likely that you will not transgress the orders of Allah. Well, the outside Muslims read this ayah to mean that they can marry two or three or four women, but there is something that is important to know. You cannot marry more than one if you are not completely just, adil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you will never be able to be equal in feeling between wives, even if you strive to do so, Quran 4:129. Therefore, it's forbidden for you to have more than one wife. It is enough for you to be with one if you know how to cross. Look for the deep meaning. Allah says, only one. The people stop with the first words of the ayah and they say, Allah gives us permission. But this is the wrong understanding, even of the outside meaning, because the second ayah, 4:129, is very clear. In the Arabic language, the word lan is stronger than la, meaning no. It means never. You could never be just between the women. To be just does not mean to give everyone the same material things. The woman likes to live inside your heart to see herself through you. It is narrated in hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever marries two women and is not just between them on the day of judgment, he will come with one of the sides of his body down and will be thrown to the hellfire. For the same reason, in the deep meaning, there is no divorce. The journey for two beloveds is the journey from the beginning to the end. But what about divorce if two people who are not suited for each other are together? See, my beloved, that is important to give chance after chance. But if it is impossible to cross, if there is a strong wall between them, and they make more and more problems for themselves, then the last medicine is the divorce. But this is the last medicine for the people who live outside, not for the beloveds of Allah. In the Quran, the words, what your right hands possess, are mentioned 14 times. What do they mean? Well, in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many people possessed slaves, and it was the custom of his time. Allah sent the order for the Prophet to abolish this custom. But you know that it is not possible to say this is forbidden in one moment. This is from the wisdom of Allah, and he opened doors to free those people. There is a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your brothers are those who you possess. He wanted the people to know that slaves were their brothers, and it was therefore necessary to give everyone what they needed. For example, if someone wanted to marry one of your women slaves, it was right to set her free and to help them build their home. If a woman slave had a child from her master, it was right to treat her like his wife and not right to sell her as before. In the situation as it was then, it would not have been the mercy to completely forbid people to have slaves. The people following the outside continued to have slaves for many centuries. But for the beloved of Allah, it is not only forbidden, but more than forbidden to have slaves. But more than forbidden to have slaves. And in any case, from the time of Muhammad Ja'far as-Sadiq, it was forbidden for the guides to have more than one wife. It brings us to page 151. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.